Please join me in the book of Ruth, chapter number 2, where we're going to begin at verse number 2 in just a moment. We introduced the key players in this story last session. We have Naomi, the widow of Elimelech, who has spent the last 10 years of her life in Moab because of a famine that caused her family to abandon their farm at Bethlehem. She's heard that the famine is now over, and she is a widow, having lost her husband and her two sons. She figures she'll just go home and die there in the bitterness of her soul, because she's convinced that God has done all of this to her. She's accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, one of her daughters-in-law, who is also, because of that, recently widowed. And Ruth has turned her back on her roots, the Moabite people, the Moabite region, the Moabite religion. She wants to convert to the faith of Israel and to become part of the Israeli family. And so she is in Bethlehem as well. And then we have Boaz, who is a local man, who is apparently a good man, but an unmarried older man, who has a whole bunch of fields. And we'll hear more about him in today's story. Ruth knows that she and Naomi will starve to death sooner or later if they don't get some grain out of the gleaning opportunities in the barley fields that are being harvested right now. So that is where we pick up the story in Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So the law is that the perimeter of every field, that is probably one swinging width of a sigh, and any grain that's dropped in the collection process, and any stalks and sheaves of grain that are dropped in the process of harvesting, all of that belongs to the poor who get to come in after the official harvesters and pick all this stuff up. The goal every day for one of these poor persons is to get enough for themselves and whatever family members they have at home to survive off of, plus extra that they can store away for the coming year. And so the barley harvest starts now in the spring, right after the time of Passover. And then after the time of Pentecost, the wheat harvest will begin. So you've got three and a half months worth of grain harvest. And the goal of the poor people is, if I go out 6 days a week behind the official harvesters, if I can collect enough scraps to keep myself and my family alive, plus enough to store against the coming winter, I can survive another year. So that's Ruth's mindset. If I can get enough for myself and my mother-in-law, Naomi, then I'll be doing good. So, verse 3, she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. So, Boaz is related to Naomi by marriage. And this, so it happened, I always have to smile about it, because I believe there's clearly providence here. Ruth went to just the perfect field for the story to progress the way that it does. Verse 4, "Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, That is from the actual city, because the fields are outside of the city walls. And he said to the reapers, "He who is, be with you." So that's a nice, pleasant greeting. And they answered, "Oh, he who is, bless you." And then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So Boaz owns quite a few fields, or he has quite a few fields that are under his control. And so he's going from place to place, checking on the progress of the field harvest, because this is all being done by hand, understand. Takes a long time. He knows everybody in town. And he sees somebody he doesn't recognize. So he asks one of his foremen, you know, "Well, who's that young woman out there?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "Oh, she's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she's continued from early morning even until now, except for a short rest." So he lets his boss know, "Oh, yeah, you remember Naomi's back in town. Well, that's her daughter-in-law, the Moabite lady. Well, she showed up, you know, first thing this morning, you know, when it's barely light, and asked if she could be gleaning after us. And she's been working hard at it ever since, except for, you know, a little break that I saw her take a while ago." Verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, so he actually goes and approaches her. "Now listen, my daughter," and this gives a sense that he is of the generation above her. He is probably at least 20 years older than her. "Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that you're reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, you go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." So he'll explain this in a moment, but he's impressed with what he's heard about her. That she has abandoned her home country, her family, and abandoned her Moabite religion, and has embraced the true faith, and has tried to take care of her mother-in-law, and that she's working hard in order to make that happen. And so he wants to show her some consideration for that. So he says, "I don't want you to go and work in anybody else's fields. I want you to work in my field. And I've told my people to treat you with respect. Nobody's going to lay a hand on you and treat you roughly or in any type of suspect manner. And I've also told them that you have my permission to drink from the community water pot that is specifically for my workers. So I've done all this specifically for you." Verse 10, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?'" Because, you know, the normal thing that has always happened, and this is even true to this day, is foreigners tend to get the garbage jobs in countries that don't belong to them. And they are not treated with much respect commonly. Now, that's not true across the board, but unfortunately, it is true more often than not. And so she's taken aback by this. She expected to be treated like a foreigner and have to work even harder than the local poor people. But Boaz has treated her nicely. And she says, "Why?" Boaz answered her, "All that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you didn't know before. May he who is repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given to you by he who is the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So he tells her, I've heard your story already. You know, you've only been back a day or so, or you've only been here a day or so in country, but I've already heard the story about your devotion to Naomi and to this country becoming your new home and he who is becoming your God. And so I want God to bless you, and I'm going to help in that. And he says something here that is important later in the story. He talks about the God of Israel under whose wings you have come to take refuge. One of the images of God was that of like a mother bird, that when danger shows up, the mother bird sticks the wings out and all the chicks run underneath and the mother covers the babies and protects them from the danger. And so God is like that. He protects his people. Those that run to him, those that trust him, can find refuge under his wings. But there is also this verbiage and ceremony that shows up later in the book, that if a man were to ask a widow woman to marry him, he would do so by taking his outer garment, which has a purple fringe on it, a purple prominence on it that shows that he's supposed to remember the covenant of God. And he would take that garment and, like a wing of a bird, he would put it around the widow woman and say, I want you to come under my wing and be protected by me. So he has just wished to Naomi that God would become her new husband that would protect her. Later, she will ask him to do the same for her. And that's the amazing part of this story that comes later. And I hope that's not a spoiler for you. Verse number 13. Then she said, Oh, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. So at mealtime, Boaz said to her, Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So they break off during the heat of the day for a couple of hours and have a noon meal in the shade and maybe take a nap and recuperate, because they start early in the morning, you know, sunrise, and they keep working until, you know, sunset. And so it's a long work day. 12, 14 hours. And so they take a couple of hours off in the middle. And so normally only the people working for Boaz would get to eat the food that he was providing and drink of the wine that he was providing. But he invites her to come and join him. That's a special privilege. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain. So this is fresh stuff, stuff that they just harvested, has been prepared, and she's eating it. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. Now, probably, she wouldn't have had anything to eat at lunchtime other than some of the unroasted grain that she'd harvested in their gleaning that day. And she probably would have rationed that to herself. Because remember, she is trying to collect not just what she and Naomi are going to eat off of today. They need to keep extra for the future. So she has now been given an amazing gift. Lunch that she didn't work for. And she even gets to dip it into, you know, the vinegar oil or the vinegar wine as the dipping sauce. And so she spends a couple hours sitting there talking with Boaz. Lunch is over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Now, it would probably have been very typical that the official harvesters would tell the gleaners, stay back. Don't get so close. Just wait until we get out of the area. Then you can come in and get the leftovers. But don't get too close. Well, Boaz tells his harvesters, you let her get as close as she wants. In fact, and this is funny, verse number 16, also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her. So he tells his harvesters, you know, when you're making that bundle, you know, you grab a handful, you cut it off, and you start to bundle it up, make sure you drop a couple of those strands, a couple of those stalks of barley right there for her to pick up as soon as you get out of her way. And don't say anything negative to her. Now, I would really like to know what his workers thought about this. I mean, at first they might have thought, oh, he's being really kind to her for being a foreign woman, you know. And that seems fair because she does seem to have come here to become part of our community. But when you start seeing things like this, you start seeing what we would refer to as flirting. That he's actually thinking that there's something special about her for him. Well, let's see what else the story tells. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, what she's gathered up is stalks of grain with the seed head still intact, and maybe pieces of seed head, and maybe even pieces of grain, and she stuck it into some sort of container. More than likely, she's just bundled it up into a piece of her clothing as she moved around the field. And at the end of the day, she has to thresh that. She basically has to pound on it somehow to get the seed heads away from their husks. And then she'd have to blow at it to get the seed grains free of all of that debris. And so she goes through that process, probably would have taken an hour or so. And when she's done, she finds out that she's got an ephah of barley seeds. Now, an ephah is about 0.73 of a bushel, which when we're talking about barley grain, I went and checked this out. We're talking about over 30 pounds of barley that she seems to have at the end of one day. Now, that's an amazing amount. And it's all because of the fact that he was making sure she got extra. So, verse 18, she took it up. She went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. Remember lunch? She had more than what she could eat, so she bundled some of that away. She gives that to Naomi, and she shows Naomi, you know, the 30-some pounds of grain that she's got from one day's work. And this is shocking to Naomi. Verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And so she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." So she goes through the story about how she has lunch with him and how she was able to just get right up next to the harvesters and how at the end of the day she ended up with this amount of grain seed and tells her, well, the guy introduced himself as Boaz. Now, Naomi, verse 29, said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by he who is, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Now, that's important to the story as it progresses. Remember, we've talked about this idea of levirate marriage, family marriage. When a woman dies without children, the next closest relative of her husband that passed away, that is eligible for marriage, usually a brother we're talking about, is supposed to step forward, marry her, and then their first child becomes the heir of the property line that would have gone to the first husband. And so this is a mechanism of making sure that the property stays within the family and passes properly along these family lines. Those men who are on the list of close relatives are called redeemers, because they can redeem the inheritance line by marrying the widow. So immediately, Naomi is aware Boaz is on that list. He is one of the guys that could offer to marry you and make all this right. Verse number 21. Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they finished all my harvest.'" So not only did he have lunch with her, he also talked about the future. Remember, I told you that barley harvest starts in the first month, but it goes all the way through the second month. And if it's a really good harvest, it even goes into the beginning of the third month. And the third month is when the wheat harvest would begin and go on for a couple of months. So Boaz told Ruth, "Look, this harvest is going to go on for weeks yet. You don't need to go to anybody else's field. You just come to my field every day. Wherever it is that my people are going to be working next, you come back to there." Because the way that this process worked is that they would sow the fields by hand, and you can't sow all of your land on the same day. It's just not going to happen. There's too much work involved in it. And so you would sow your field here, and then later you'd sow another field, and then later you'd sow another field, and then later you'd sow another field. And so each of these fields would come ripe in progression. And so she is now being invited to follow that harvest progression through the next several weeks. And Naomi agrees. That's definitely what she should do. Verse 22, "Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted.'" Remember, this is the time of the judges, and not everybody is doing the right thing. In fact, some people do what they think is right in their own eyes. And a foreign single woman, widowed woman, may not have been treated properly and would have been mishandled, perhaps even assaulted physically or sexually. And so Naomi says, "You need to stick with him because he'll look out for you. I guarantee you." Verse 23, "So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law." So 6 days a week, she is going and working in Boaz's fields, and probably most of those days, if not all of those days, he is coming and checking up on her, probably having lunch with her. And they're working not just on harvesting the grain, they're working on a relationship. They're becoming close friends. And I am positive, based on what we're going to see probably more tomorrow, that Naomi was convinced that given enough time, Boaz would turn around and ask Ruth to marry him. because of the development of this relationship over several months. But it turns out that that's not what's going to happen, because Boaz has got something going on in his mindset that he doesn't believe that he should be married to her. She is younger than him, probably by at least 20 years. But also, remember, he's never been married from all the evidence that we have. So he may have asked women in the past to marry him and it didn't happen. Or maybe he was always afraid to ask anyone to marry him. And that's still happening in the situation with Ruth. So as the story develops toward during the harvest of wheat, that'd be after Pentecost, Naomi decides that we can't wait for him to do it anymore. We have to force the issue. So that's where the story goes next. Let's go ahead and start developing that background in chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?" So she's starting to get a much better attitude after several months. And she says, "Look, girl, I need to make sure that you've got a husband." Verse 2, "Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." So she knows exactly his schedule. She knows that he's going to be doing that next stage of grain preparation, which is threshing it. That's making sure that the big mass of grain that has been harvested has been reduced to individual seeds. And so that is a process by which you want to stay near the big pile of grain. And it's the perfect time for Naomi to spring through Ruth this plot that she's got in mind.